And I'd like to get more folks here so we can proceed. Foster?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a, I didn't have a chance to talk to anybody. Here, I just cranked this out. I was kind of unsure whether I should offer it or not. I've got an amendment. We've got copies, should be copies here with everybody's packet on a small intertie between, only about 10 miles apart.
That's for Senate Bill 126.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I'll withdraw it.
The fiscal notes, I believe, have been placed before everyone on the table.
In the sectional analysis.
Zero fiscal notes.
In the sectional analysis was...
Zero.
Okay, we're still under discussion. If there's any more discussion, Representative Brown?
Wendell House?
No.
Has anyone talked to Ada about this bill?
Has anyone talked to Ada? I haven't talked to Ada. No?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, yes, Ada was contacted, and the director of Ada was contacted 2 days ago, as a matter of fact, and then I believe he was also in contact with Mr. Baldwin from the Department of Law.
And your opinion is, do they see, I guess one thing that I wonder about is, ADA is a really important agency, and the effects of, at minimum, it seems like we're diluting their mission and facing what they do, which is not exactly the same, it's not at all the same as what the energy company does, and I just wonder what thought is being given to that aspect.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, that is the very reason why the Alaska Energy Authority was kept intact as a corporate structure and transferred to, or not transferred, the AEA really isn't transferring. The Board of Directors is being changed to be the same Board of Directors as the ADA Board of Directors. The rural functions being pulled aside, but the corporate structure is still there. And the reason that was done is compared, we had thought about just transferring the functions to ADA. But because the covenants in the ADA bonds are more restrictive than the covenants in the AEA bonds, that would have created problems. That's why the AEA was left intact as a corporation, was to satisfy and keep the ADA structure and bondholders happy, as well as the AEA, existing AEA bondholders. And that the language that is now in the bill was worked out between Eric Woolforth and Terry Kramer, Eric being the bond counsel for both AEA and ADA.
Mr. Chairman, there was a quote in the paper today saying there were, I think it was 70 employees at the Energy Authority, quoting the speaker, saying 70 employees at the Energy Authority were not needed anymore. And I'm just wondering, which employees are those that are anticipated to be laid off or eliminated as a result of this change we're making?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, I can't say for certain which specifically which employees, but there are some 35 CIP employees. If those projects are put out to the private sector as opposed to being done in-house, just like we're doing with DOT, the idea is to contract out those services as opposed to having state employees doing those functions, because it is believed that it would be less expensive and there would be more money available for the actual projects as opposed to going into salaries. Then it would seem that those CIP employees, or at least a portion of them, would not be needed. Additionally, as the Bradley Lake project is turned over to the utility companies for management and operation, the five employees that oversee the manage or the ongoing operation of Bradley Lake, it would seem, would not be maintained on the state payroll, but I've been told by the utilities that it, the only logical thing to do with which would be whichever utility takes over the operation of that dam would be for them to also bring on board as their employees the existing staff that is operating that, that facility.
And the other 30 would be?
Some of them would, I'm sure, transfer over to Community and Regional Affairs, and I do have, I believe that Ramon Henderson from the CRA is here. That is the reason we did agree to the six-month transition period, is because we're not sure exactly how many people will be needed for the functions that are being transferred, but because AEA will no longer be issuing bonds, there's a certain number of staff that currently work on that, or parts of time of staff. We've been trying for the last, golly, 3 weeks to get information from AEA to get a much clearer picture of the financial structure, and it has been difficult at best, and I think that Mr. Henderson would also testify to that, that it has been very difficult, and that's why that this transition period seems to make so much more sense. The money for AEA is already budgeted in this year's operating budget. When the time comes at the end of, let's say, December 31, for the transfer of the rural programs over to DCRA, then the money that is in that budget that supports those programs and functions would transfer over to DCRA. The remaining money would remain with the AEA corporate structure.
And they're not going to be issuing bonds anymore. Why is it necessary to adopt that amendment on the...
That was for, Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, that was for the ADA. ADA will be issuing bonds. AEA will not be.
And so...
We currently have kind of a duplicate function right now. We have ADA issuing bonds. That takes a certain corpus of people to do the work. We have AEA issuing bonds. That takes a corpus of people. Since AEA will not be issuing bonds any longer, and ADA already does that function, it would seem that, and according to Mr. Schnell, that with the addition of two or three people, that they could take over all the bond functions that AEA currently does. That's just for that portion, and I don't know what he would require as far as any other functions that AEA would still be performing as far as ongoing contracts.
Do we have further discussion?
Has someone looked carefully at the repealers to see for sure what it is we are repealing? And that we're not repealing the rural parts and the parts we don't wish to repeal?
Well, we've been down with the working group doing that, but I'm sure Representative Brown has been reviewing the repealers for us.
I haven't, but... I'm just asking whether someone has. It's always of interest when you see a huge piece of repealers and nobody seems quite sure what's being repealed and what's remaining. I'm just asking for some delineation. We just now were handed this sectional that explains what the bill is doing.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, it's my understanding from the drafter, and that is Terry Kramer, and I'm sure we could probably get her on the telephone if you would like, that it is repealing those functions that are transferring from the, it's taking out the language in the statutes that refers to AEA for the rural functions and moving those under the title that covers the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, basically, is my understanding.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parnell.
I think I just want to make a statement for the record before we go on here, because I do have some package, and I've always been a supporter of the interties for the rail belt fund for that purpose. And something's been said here today that may be willing to move this bill, because I think the overall good here that can be served can be hopefully when the overall picture is looked at, it will be a good piece of legislation, and that is that the AEA portion of it is the portion that has concerned me here. And when we're looking at getting rid of an authority or an agency, we're dealing with the bonds that that agency has already issued and that they will be issuing. And based upon the representations here, that the bond council has indicated that the bonding capacity and authority of AEA and ADA, those will not be impaired. It's upon that basis that I'm willing to move the bill from committee at this point. I think in the interest of the state of Alaska, and particularly of this body, I think it would be, I think you'd be well advised to get a written legal opinion on that very topic, stating that in that bond council's opinion, that the bonding capacity and authority of the AEA and ADA will not be impaired. I think we need that in writing. But it's with that understanding and that representation, those representations that have been made, that I'm willing to move it from committee, because I think the overall good that will be served here is of supreme benefit to the state. But I do think we're going to be revisiting this on numerous occasions in the future to fix some things that have been left undone.
Okay, are the objections to the motion maintained? Any objection? Okay, the bill then passes from committee with individual recommendation in the lump fiscal. Next bill we have before us.
House J, you're on number 9, sir.
Is committee sub for what number was that, Representative Martin?
House J, you're on number 9.
Oh, that's the one we love so much, isn't it?
Move the resolution.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 126, Rules Amended. It's an act making appropriations for grants and loans for hydroelectric projects, including power transmission interties, to capitalize certain funds for energy grants and loan programs in the state, including the Power Cost Equalization and Rural Electrical Capitalization Fund to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for the operating costs related to power projects and programs, and to capitalize the Rail Belt Energy Fund. Mel, could you rejoin us, please, in case we have questions here? This is the appropriation bill of the 106. Do we have any questions or statements you'd like to make at this time on this bill?
Mr. Chairman, basically, I think we went over this when you met previously. I would only point out that there is an appropriation in this legislation for the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, which would cover any contingencies that might come up. We would anticipate that at the end of the fiscal year there would be some lapsing appropriation there. How much, however, I cannot tell you. We don't know, but it certainly should be more than adequate to cover any contingency to make certain that there is no interruption to the services currently being provided by the Alaska Energy Authority.
Let me see if there's anyone else who would like to be heard on. In the audience, who would like to be heard on committee substitute for Senate Bill 126? None. We come to the committee. I have a number of amendments before me. The first amendment I have is W.8, I think we saw. It starts out with page 1. To section 1B after Department of Administration, and I guess this is proposed by Representative Barnes. So, on behalf of Representative Barnes,
Mr. Chairman, yes, thank you. This is one of the amendments that was requested by Bond Council to make ADA a partner to the contracts that Mr. Baldwin referred to earlier.
Okay, discussion on amendment number 1, Representative Barnes.
Or is this on page 2?
It would be inserted, Representative Brown. It would be inserted where it talks about the contract with the Department of Administration for the grants. I'm not sure what the line page number is because these were drafted to the amendment to the Senate bill.
Page 2.
There should be
page
2, line 30.
I'm sorry, do we have further discussion on amendment number one?
Well, just a question. I thought earlier it was stated that they were going to bond for the amount that exceeded the grant.
Yes, that's correct, Representative Brown.
Well, doesn't this say provided that participating utilities agree to pay for the costs that exceed $43,200,000?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, that's in regard to the grants to the for the Southern and Northern Intertie. That when the grant is given, and the grant would go through the Department of Administration, that ADA Bond Council felt that they would be more comfortable if ADA became a party to that contract. And that would be prior, of course, to the bonds being issued. It would all be a part of the same package, basically. They would not issue the bonds without the grant, certainly, and the wanted the terms of the grant and so forth to conform to their requirements. It would be an extra check and balance, basically.
So that we'd be bonding to pick it up, not for this project, but for other projects?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, I believe the language that is there is specifically for these intertie grants and bonds, not for any future ones.
By bond.
Further discussion? Further discussion on amendment number one? Is there any objections to amendment number one? Hearing none, amendment number one, then it's been adopted. Okay, amendment number two then is by Representative Brown, by request to Representative Finkelstein. Welcome, Representative.
Thank you. I had a chance. The memo I gave out talks about a local hire amendment and some conservation amendments. The local hire amendment doesn't seem necessary, so all I had was two conservation amendments that I was hoping to propose. And the background I gave out, which is attached to my letter, everyone should have the... one of the things that's attached to it is a report done by the our legislative research agency that looked at all... Actually, and it was looking at information prepared by the Alaska Energy Authority and examining of all the alternatives out there to deliver electricity to certain points, what are the most efficient ways to do that? Because the goal with these projects isn't just to build particular facilities, because no one wants the facilities just for themselves. The goal is electricity at a certain cost to consumers in a certain area. And the... wave of energy planning around the country has led to analysis as to which is the best way to achieve that goal. How can you, because energy conserved, which is what these amendments are about, is exactly the same as energy produced. If you can conserve a megawatt of power and not require it be produced, that means the existing production facilities have that much more capacity available. It's as if you built a new power plant or a new intertie. So there are different means to get to the exact same end. And if you look at the legislative research report, the among the top programs for cost-benefit ratio for delivering electricity are the conservation programs. The ratio of benefits to cost was 1.75 for the top three, and the top eight were 1.4. These aren't some sort of wild new technology. They're basically things that have been going on for years. It's just retrofitting building, more efficient lighting, the kind of things that have been done for years. They're also a great production of jobs. In fact, a study done by the Institute of Social and Economic Research shows that more jobs are produced per dollar spent than on any other expenditure in the area of energy, because these are very high labor, very labor-intensive projects that don't require large amounts of materials from out of state. The other piece of material I passed out is a letter from the senior policy analyst to Mr. Stastny, and goes over what a program like this could produce for benefits, especially when you're looking at the going in and retrofitting existing government buildings. The kind of inefficiency we've got in these buildings, the kind of... this is all attached to that the little cover letter I handed out. There's a cover letter for me. That's it right there. Everyone has it, I'm sure. Yeah. It was just handed out on the wrong bill. But this letter for the senior policy analyst goes on the kind of benefits that you can get from these programs. It only takes a relatively few number of years. If you go in and take our government buildings all over the state, and it would be a statewide program, it would provide benefits to every region of the state. If you go in and take those buildings and you retrofit them, do basic energy efficiency programs, in a matter of just a few years, the entire cost is paid back in lower operating budgets. It costs that much less to heat or to light a building, to run the electrical facilities, if you go and do the retrofitting. Every year beyond that, that's all profit. That's all extra benefits beyond the cost. And the proposal being made within OMB was for huge amounts of money to be spent on these programs, because the return rate, which is 20 to 30% per year in benefits, that actually could lead to a payback in just 3 years. It's a guaranteed success in doing it. So the two amendments that Representative Brown was going to offer, the first one is for energy efficiency programs. It's a variety of programs that exist now, the BEAT program is others. The $15 million, the second amendment, which I think is the most critical, is to try to get some money into institutions, into our state government buildings, to reduce our operating budget. We spend a fortune in the operating budget each year for these kind of utility costs, and this is guaranteed to reduce them and be a cost-efficient means. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Number one, I think it's a little late in the game to be adding $20 million to the pot. But then also, Alaska Housing Finance Corporation has plenty of money, like $5 billion. And they do, on an annual basis, as you know, to neighborhood housing, to other groups, to upgrade buildings, to weatherization buildings, and things like that. I don't know if they need this extra money for energy efficiency. I need to give them more when they probably have more than the state has now in cash flow.
Mr. Chairman, if it's late in the process, it's also the first hearing I've had a chance to comment on the bill. So I spent much of the last 4 years trying to make myself an expert in these subjects. I chaired dozens of many hearings on these subjects, and took testimony from all over the state. We held debates 2 years ago. There's a bunch of really important issues here. We've had, many legislative research reports done on these subjects. These kind of expenditures are very key, and Now, I did speak to Representative Barnes, and there is a provision in there which I support, which says that when money comes back to these funds in the future, that it can be spent on conservation programs like these. But that's basically just intent language. There's no appropriation being made. And, of course, we can always spend it on whatever we want in the future. It's dependent on the future appropriation. And Representative Martin is correct. There, AHFC is spending some amounts of money on these things, but it's basically been legislative funds in the past. And on the first of the two amendments, we do hope AHFC will continue to spend funds on those. I think you're absolutely right. The second one, though, AHFC has no connection to the institutional facilities. Those are purely a cost of state government. Each year we pay it out of the operating budget, and the payoff would occur within 3 or 4 years. By making these investments, we'd have lowered the operating budget enough to pay for those costs in 3 or 4 years. Everything beyond that would be pure benefit to the state.
I believe we have amendment number two has been moved. Any objections to amendment number two?
Yes, sir.
Under discussion, Representative Navarre?
Yeah, and that is that she moved amendment number two before we have the new one. Is this amendment C3? Amendment number two?
I took it to be...
C.3?
C.3 is the one that...
Okay.
Think of the amendment number four will be C.4.
Thank you.
Excuse me, amendment number three would be C.4.
One motion...
Martin?
Could you give us I had the number because I did 2 days ago to show how much money that put into renewing just in Iowa, you must let all over the state, energy efficiency. This is just extra money. They may not be able to handle it all in 1 year. Number two, Mr. Chairman, do you have any idea how much money now is in the capital budget in the transportation and public facilities that they're all currently always upgrading the to be energy efficient? And why should we give them another $15
million? Okay,
Mr. Chairman.
I think we are on that point.
Yes, Representative Finkelstein, there is money approximately. I think we put in receipts to do energy and efficient home improvements, and it's in the capital.
The
adding that to $17 million, $17 million, two different projects for AHFC.
Okay, Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know what the exact amount is. It's true each year. Now that we've put the weatherization program into AHFC, they will be spending money on it. The problem with, and this is the low-income weatherization program that goes on around the state, the problem is the demand far exceeds the amount of money available. It's a very efficient program that works, and it works, and it's spread around the state. So my experience and my discussions with the people involved in AHFC indicate that this money would be very well spent. It is true, we are spending money on it, but the need far... If you go out into the rural areas, especially, the amount of homes that qualify for low-income weatherization far exceed the amount of money available. And the question from Representative Martin, it isn't correct, though, that they are spending. There is no money being spent in any significant amount on by the Department of Transportation on these. They can't afford to do this. Basically, all the Department of Transportation does, and I'm sure they'd be glad to explain this, is barely keep up. The kind of maintenance they do is stopping leaky roofs, fixing up basic sort of things. They can't possibly afford to go in and retrofit buildings for electric efficiency because we don't give them the money to do it. It takes investment in conservation to get the benefits, and we haven't been able to give it to them. It's just their money isn't available.
Discussion about the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, their weatherization program, but that's basic for residential. What your amendment is attempting to do is facility, things of that nature. At least that's the way I take it. So we're talking about two different things, are we not?
Mr. Chairman, the Second Amendment is government facilities. The First Amendment is a mixture of residential and business, so it's both things. They're broken in two amendments. I have a very long presentation with charts and various other things that I figure the committee doesn't have time for, but in doing that, I could go over much better where all this money goes. But the point made before is true. We are spending some of this funds on existing. There is money being spent now on some of these things already. It's just the demand exceeds the supply. In the case of the Second Amendment, though, the money for the $15 million for institutional facilities, that isn't going on at all anywhere. You're correct. That is purely for institutional facilities to save ourselves, the state government, money over time.
Mr. Chairman, maybe then on your amendment, you should take out the residential part and get to what you're really trying to get at, and that would be the state government.
Mr. Chairman, it is the second one is purely state government. The one that says $15 million for institutional facilities, that's purely state government. The other one isn't. It's a variety of programs. There's the BEAT program, there's other programs, and those are existing programs that cover both those areas. So your point's well taken. They're two separate things, and I split them up to avoid the confusion.
CDOT 2, and we're now on CDOT 3.
Any further discussion on amendment number 2? The
objection,
please. Yes. Call the roll.
Representative Martin?
No.
Representative Barr?
No.
Representative Cardell?
No.
Representative Terry?
No.
Representative Brown?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Grusendorf?
No.
Representative Hanley?
No.
Representative McCain?
No.
Representative Larson?
No. Please note amendment number 2 has failed adoption. Amendment number 3 by Representative Brown, by request from Representative Brown.
I'd move amendment number 3.
Have a motion discussion for amendment number 3. Are there objections to amendment number 3?
Yes.
Representative Navarre.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't support amendment number 2 because I didn't think it was, while I support the program, I didn't think that the general fund was the appropriate place to be funding that from. I think we really ought to look at AHFC as a funding source for that and increasing the amount that they spend. In this case, is there anyone here from OMB? I'd like to ask them if they support this. I think that if we're going to be spending money on energy statewide, this probably really does make a lot of good sense, and we probably do recover the cost of this investment over a period of years in energy savings.
Okay, let's stand at ease and see if we can get someone from OMB here. Thank you, Representative Navarre. Good idea.
I know. But that's right, though. I just want to ask them to see
it. A lot of money here.
Why do they need 750 dollars per subsidy? That's what I was wondering, if anybody had looked at the back of the money, or if there is any.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that.
I got an offer they can't resist. Went through the four agencies, showed them where they can take money out of Senate Finance and Senate Leadership, and get right down to where they want to be.
Hey!
And
they were excited about that?
So what for?
I don't know. No, I made the offer.
David, St. George Island.
And tonight, Representative Navarre for the
actually makes a lot of sense for the state in terms of achieving some energy efficiency savings. And with an investment like this, you probably can recover the cost of this investment over a period of years in terms of the energy savings that you have. And I'm wondering if I gave him a copy of the memo that Representative Finkelstein gave us from 91, where I know they've done some studying. Have they made any decisions or determinations about whether or not this is a good idea, and if there ought to be this type of investment, and whether or not you would recommend this type of investment?
Well, I don't think there's any question, Representative Navarre, that there's a lot of money that could be saved with some energy efficiency in our state buildings. There's a lot of other things that are good investments, too, that we don't invest in, and I guess this is the kind of a thing that's going to take the drive from a lot of different places in order for it to actually happen. I think it'd be a good investment. There's a lot of other things that are good investments. Whether or not this program is to be put into place in over some other program, I think is really what we're all here for, is to try and determine where we put it. But it's surely a good program. We haven't done anything beyond this memo, though.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know whether the votes are here on the committee to adopt this amendment or not. Just in case it's not, Mr. Stead, could I ask you to do some studies to determine whether or not what the long-term savings would be from investment? Because I have this idea that you're going to realize tremendous long-term savings far and away above what the investment is over a period of time by making these types of things, and that's just good management.
I believe that the bill that you're considering right now references the need to do this. Doesn't set any money aside for it, but does reference the need for that being part of what the funds that are being set aside is to do.
Mark?
No, but my grandmother used to say the road to hell is paved with good
information. I really did take offense to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On this amendment, Mr. Shelby, I was thinking that perhaps rather than put you in a spot and DOT's not here, it would not be more reasonable to ask OMB during the interim to look into the facilities and give that priority where the greatest needs is. Some people may think that the greatest priority is this building. Let's build a new Capitol building. It's a total waste here of energy. certainly DEC building down here, the waste of energy too, in many ways. So rather than observed here, I don't know of any legislature that just gave you an open $15 million check. I don't think the legislature is an open account. And I'd like to ask, is it possible that your people internally could work up a list of priorities for next session?
I believe it probably is. I've suggested that to my staff that we ought to do that.
Okay, Representative Hanley, then Navarre.
I'd like to go along the lines of Representative Navarre, although I'm not going to support this amendment. I would like to have some information. I would like to have a comprehensive plan put forward because I do think there are some savings that will pay for themselves over the long term. And just like the retirement incentive program where we supposedly have savings, but we never see a reduction in the budgets. I mean, and I think Representative Finkelstein makes some good points that some of these or many of these could be paid off over 3 years. So $15 million, you know, I'd like to see put together that actually identifies a specific thing, has a little more restrictive language than demand-side management programs, which I'm concerned could be used, wouldn't be used for necessarily things that would generate if we've got some restrictions to put on it, and then put together a spreadsheet that would show a $15 million, whatever, million-dollar investment in particular programs or facilities, the actual energy use in those facilities, the estimate of the reduction, so that in the next year's budget we can go in and reduce that energy by $5 million and see, have a plan that actually puts together something that we don't put money out there and we never actually see that it either works or it doesn't work or it's spread out over instead of 3 years, 5 years. And I think it does make management sense. Put together a plan like that that's fairly comprehensive and actually work those in. And if that means we absorb some of the increases, but we need to show identified savings in energy bills in particular areas and have a program to do that.
Representative Navarre?
I just want to say I concur with Representative Hanley's remarks, and I wanted to respond to Representative Martin, and that was we could probably develop a system that would collect all the hot air and gas from the BS that floats around in this building and provide for all the energy needs of buildings in general.
The waste heat.
And warm up the ocean. Any further discussion on amendment number 3? Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Stastny, there you've been asked to develop a list, and I was thinking of the list that we probably should be developing and we have talked about many times, and that's deferred maintenance. And I think actually deferred maintenance would probably take higher priority than these particular lists that should be drawn up, or you'd be throwing those in and calling them energy efficient approaches. But that's where we're short, and we can see that in this year's or the budget that we're building for DOT and other places, just plain deferred maintenance on our existing facilities.
Are objections maintained to amendment number 3?
Yes.
Hearing objections, would the clerk call the roll?
Representative Navarre.
Yes.
Representative Parnell.
No.
Representative Terrio.
No.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Grisendorf.
Yes.
Representative Hanley.
No.
Representative Martin.
No.
Representative Larson.
No.
Representative McLean.
No.
3A, 7A.
Okay. Amendment number 4 by Representative Brown. I'd like to recognize Representative Brown.
Are we not doing Representative Foster's amendment?
I went through it.
Oh, yeah. You did. Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure. This is the one that says delete section 15. Okay, Mr. Chairman, my concern is that this bill, and I'm not sure this amendment obviously is drafted not by me and not by the drafter, but that it adequately will do the job. So what I would like anybody's indulgence is to make a conceptual amendment, because there may be other changes, like if you look at section 10 of the bill. But anyway, my thought is that I would like to separate these two pieces of legislation so that we would have before us the option of approving only the direct appropriations and not the other bill that we considered earlier. And I think my thinking there is that there are a number of issues and questions that have come up with respect to the other bill, and that there, I think it would be a shame to hastily make changes that we're not really sure what we're doing, and that we could still accomplish some positive things by doing the direct appropriations without having to have the two tied together.
Are you Representative Navarre?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support the amendment not for that reason, because I think that both bills are likely to pass, but just because this is absolutely a terrible policy and precedent to get into doing with legislation. Having one piece contingent upon another piece, I mean, we're going to have all kinds of blackmail clauses in all kinds of pieces of legislation.